1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes.
Yeas are 314, the nays are 117. The bill is passed.
After weeks of worry, the House overwhelmingly passed the bipartisan debt ceiling bill. It freezes overall spending levels and rolls back some of the COVID money that hasn't been spent. The measure now heads to the Senate. As the GOP presidential field widens, former President Trump's feud with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is intensifying.
Yesterday, both Republican presidential candidates were in Iowa, where Trump called DeSantis a very disloyal person during a radio interview. DeSantis is trailing Trump in the polls by double digits, but he's telling voters that Trump is unable to win another general election.
The tired dogmas of the past are inadequate for a vibrant future. We have to look forward. We can't look backwards.
Meanwhile, the Republican field to take on Trump is getting more crowded. Former Vice President Mike Pence and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie are both expected to announce their candidacies next week.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. This is ABC News. He was a pretty big sitcom star in the early 2000s, but now Danny Masterson has been convicted of rape. ABC's Jason Nathanson.
During the height of that 70s show's popularity, actor Danny Masterson was acting like he was above the law. Three women saying they were raped by Masterson between 2001 and 2003. And now a jury is sided with two of the women, convicting Masterson on felony forcible rape charges. Deadlocking on the third count, 8 guilty, 4 not guilty. The women were all Scientologists at the time of the assaults. Masterson still is. The religion brought up several times in the trial, a retrial after the jury deadlocked on all counts last November. Masterson now faces a possible sentence of 30 years to life in prison.
Was it a poor business decision? Twitter may be worth just a third of the $44 billion Elon Musk paid for it last year. This according to financial services company Fidelity. Fidelity reducing the market value of its equity stake for a third time to $6.55 billion, a major dip from the $20 billion Fidelity valued its stake back in October. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out.
because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you...
And you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way...
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Is that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways.
I think it's indicates.
Indicative? Is that the word you were looking
that
for?
That is a good word, Kristen Bright.
A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bright does not believe in friendship.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
So it's not a revelatory thing to say that, what?
Nothing.
What?
I liked that you started with a big word.
Yeah, and I knew how to pronounce it.
I know. Shut your mouth and boo on, whatever. I will destroy you.
That Wisconsinites are divided over politics. But how much are those political divides affecting our relationships and our well-being? And what can we do about it? Those are some of the questions that UW-Madison's Center for Communication and Civic Renewal are trying to answer. And returning to tell us about a survey they did is Michael Wagner, professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison, where he directs the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
It's great to be here. Good to see you.
So, remind us what the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal is.
Our center, which it was kind of started thanks to funding from the Knight Foundation, seeks to try to understand why Wisconsin is like this, basically. So, in other
why
words,
why are we the way that we are?
Right. We want to be revelatory and indicative about what it is that got us here. In other words, how does the way that Wisconsinites engage in their information environment, so the news they get, the people they talk to, their behaviors on social media, how do those things interact to affect what people believe to be true, what they want politically, and then what they do in terms of their participation and their voting behaviors? And so we really try to understand those things so we can shed light on the state of democracy in Wisconsin and paths forward to try to make the state a better place to be.
Seems admirable and
absolutely
important.
Absolutely, and difficult.
And difficult. And so last fall, you guys did a statewide survey to kind of look at where we are with political conflict. And this is not new. I mean, I think there's been a lot of trying to uncover this for a while. But as far as recently, this is as recent as last fall. And so, like, before we get into what you guys found, how do you structure a survey like that? Like, how do you pick the cross sections and the demographics, and then also like opting in versus people who would never take a survey? Like, what does it go like? What goes into trying to get a comprehensive survey like this accomplished?
That's a great question, and it's harder and harder to get people to want to do these surveys, right? Because there's so many of them, and so many of them are political and done by politicians, where the questions are something like, if I told you that your opponent tried to push a child in front of a bus, would you be more likely to vote for them or less likely to vote for them? You know, so we don't do that sort of stuff, right? So what we do is we work with reputable survey firms that score really high on low bias. In other words, which is to say, the surveys they conduct end up performing really well when you compare them to, say, election results and things like that. So we work with firms that do that kind of work, and we say, okay, where are the large metro areas in the state? We want to make sure, of course, we cover those. Where are mid-sized cities? We want to make sure we cover those. What about rural areas? We want to make sure we cover those. And so we kind of divide the state up into a bunch of different little areas, and then we seek to interview as many people from each of those areas as we can, so that we're not just getting people from Milwaukee or just from Madison, but also from rural parts of the state, suburban parts of the state, and everything in between. And so most surveys in the state are about 500 to 800 people, and we surveyed 3,031. So we did that so that we would have way more people in rural and suburban areas than you typically get in a survey. And then to see how Wisconsin compares to the nation, we did a random sample of 2,900 U.S. residents so that we could compare Wisconsin to the rest of the country. And so we did a survey right before the 2022 elections, and then we contacted as many of those people, both from Wisconsin and nationally, as we could in March, and asked them the same questions again to see how the stability of that looks over time.
All right. Well, then with that, let's talk about what you guys found. And so as far as let's start with the bad so we can end with maybe the good. As far as sure. What were some of the more grim aspects of what you found with the survey?
So one thing that really surprised us, because Wisconsin is such a participatory state, like we're always in the top two or three for voter turnout, and we're always a high participating state generally in terms of other kinds of civic engagement, whether that's politics or church or schools or whatever. We found that a quarter of Wisconsinites say that they avoid participating in politics because they're afraid, of what might happen to them while they're out participating. And that's especially higher among Black Wisconsinites and those who are members of religious minorities. And so there are people who say, like, I'd love to knock on doors, or I'd love to go to a protest, but I'm afraid that I might get shot or hurt or something else. And so they don't do it. And so there's some people who just don't. I think that's probably maybe the grimmest finding of the survey. Another one that I think is a more general measure of how things are in the state is that 60% of Wisconsinites have stopped talking about politics with someone with whom they disagree. Right. So they'll still talk about the Packers or the weather or, you know, Memorial Day boating and brat eating, but they won't talk politics anymore. That's double what it was in 2012. And 1 in 6 of us have just outright ended a friendship or ended a familial relationship over political disagreement. That's higher for Democrats than Republicans in the state. And so we don't, you know, people end relationships for different kinds of reasons. Right. Sometimes it's because they don't want to hear what the other side has to say. And that's not very healthy for a democracy. Other people end relationships because the person they're ending the relationship with makes them feel unsafe or is communicating to them in a way that makes them feel that their identity isn't valid or doesn't deserve the same rights as other folks. And so it's hard to know exactly why people are ending relationships. But if you're in a line at a grocery store and you're sixth in line, one of the people in front of you or you has ended a friendship or family relationship in Wisconsin over political disagreements, which is, I think, pretty striking.
That is striking. And we're talking to Michael Wagner, who is a professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison and also one of the directors at the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal, about a survey they've done across Wisconsin trying to look at our political divides and how it's affecting people's relationships and well-being. And so in the two that you just said, as far as 60% saying that they just won't talk politics anymore, isn't there an argument to be made that that's better than just ending the relationship? Like, if you can choose, because I was trying to think about this as I was reading the results of, like, the people that are, especially people who are more like acquaintances, where we have the similar social groups, where there's just certain people where I know, I see what they post on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They see what I post on Facebook. But we're in the same social circle. And when we're together, and honestly, when we're together, I always have lovely conversations with them and we just don't talk politics. And so, like, is that a bad thing?
I don't know that it's, I don't know that it's wholly a good thing or wholly a bad thing. I think, you know, generally, if we can maintain relationships with people who are different than us, that's probably more good than bad, right? It helps us see life from their point of view. It helps us find places where we can come together and agree on things. And if there are places where we can get along, it just makes it harder to demonize those other folks, right? So if I don't want to talk politics with you because we disagree about an issue that's really important to me, but our kids can play together or we can sit next to each other at a, you know, neighborhood concert or something, that's good for keeping the civic fabric healthy. But if we absolutely cut folks out, especially just because we don't want to hear what they have to say, you know, that makes it a lot easier to buy into the demonization of the other side. It makes it a lot easier to think that their views aren't legitimately held, that or they're just a bunch of rubes who are being lied to and persuaded by people who have, you know, nefarious intent. And some of that sometimes is true, but other times it's just people value different things than other people do. Individuals vary, right? And so we need that kind of variance to both maintain stability and have innovation in any society. But when we completely break down and aren't willing to talk to others, it's more problematic than not.
And how much, I don't know how much this was vetted out in the survey, but even through your own experience, are we just not very, a lot of us just aren't equipped to have difficult conversations, like how to navigate things when we do disagree and to have that be okay instead of it escalating to a fight or have it be such a personal affront to our like core belief system. And like, if we disagree on this, like I can't be friends with you because we have different values, or like, I don't know how to like engage in this conversation without having a bunch of emotions rise up. Like, did that come up in any of the surveys?
That's come up in other kinds of data we gather where we do these longer in-depth interviews one-on-one with people. We've done about 300 of these across the state. And there, what we really are learning are that people have really complicated reasons for some of the views that they hold. And other times the views that they hold, you know, maybe aren't so strongly held. And like you ask somebody a question in a survey and you say, well, gosh, I guess I don't want to sound stupid. I'll answer this question. But, you know, if you ask me how much I care about this issue, I'm going to say not much. Right. And so sometimes, you know, the answers we give in surveys are driven by just what's at the top of our head at the time. And other times they're driven by these deep-seated ideas about what's really important to us. Right. And so one thing that we've learned is like, so say for an issue like abortion in Wisconsin, where about a quarter of Democrats say that was the most important thing to them in the last election. And you ask them, why do you hold the views they have? They can tell you why. And if you ask them about their position about another political issue, they might tell you a position, but they have way less to say about why they hold it, right? So people vary in how deeply dedicated they are to issue positions, and they vary in how the roots of their preferences are planted, right? Sometimes it's like the most important thing to me is individual freedom, or the most important thing to me is equality. And not all issues are about those things. And so sometimes we hold issues close and sometimes we don't. And so I think it's easy to think we're all polarized about everything all the time, but that's just not the way it is. We tend to hold a few issues tight to our chest, and the rest of them tend to be more transient.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about the hopeful things, the good things that you found in the survey, because it was not all grim. And so our guest is Mike Wagner, who is a professor of journalism and mass communications and also a director at the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. We'll be right back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Yeah, what it's all about.
What it's all about.
Because we're one in the same.
One in the same.
Same joy, same pain. And I hope that you're there when I need you. Because maybe we need amnesia. And I don't want to sound like a preacher, but we need to be one. One world, one love, one passion. One tribe, one understanding. Cause you and me can become one.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served,
my My buddies from the army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Daytime highs approaching 87 today under mainly clear skies with a slight chance for scattered storms. Southeasterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, 61. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 88. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Saturday with daytime highs approaching 85. 82 Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 60.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. And we're talking to Mike Wagner from the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal about a survey they did both last fall, but then again this March, and some of the bad the grim findings, and then the more hopeful findings as far as where Wisconsinites are in our political divides and how it's affecting our lives. And so as far as the more hopeful things, Mike, that you guys found, what can we be positive about?
I think there's a few different things. So one is that despite the attention from the former president and some of our state lawmakers and some of the tax money we had to spend about who won the last election, 80% of Wisconsinites are very confident that their votes are counted, that other people's votes are counted, that the election was properly conducted. This is true for Republicans. This is true for Democrats. This is true for independents. This is true for in-person voting, mail-in voting, absentee ballots, no matter how people voted or even asking people about how others voted. Majorities of Wisconsinites across the party divide say we do our elections well. And that attitude amongst our fellow citizens squares with the evidence. And so people have accurate views about that. Another thing is that despite the many disagreements we have over a wide variety of issues, it's over 3-1 that Wisconsinites favor compromise in the legislature over lawmakers sticking to their ideological principles, even if nothing gets done. So
imagine
Wisconsinites want compromise. Now, it's easy to say in a survey, gee, I want my lawmakers to compromise. And when we start to push and say, well, what about compromising on the thing that you care about the most? Then, you know, people are a little bit less supportive of it. But even then, people favor compromise more than they favor staying stuck in the mud. Like they recognize, look, there are two parties. They disagree about a wide variety of things. The middle is not always the appropriate place to meet when there's a disagreement, but trying to find a compromise is preferable in the minds of Wisconsinites to not. I'd also say another good positive thing that came out of the survey is that Wisconsinites favor, you know, mechanisms to make our government more representatives. And so there are large majorities of Wisconsinites, and again, this includes Republicans and Democrats, who support nonpartisan redistricting. And even when we made Republicans aware, hey, this would make it likely that there would be fewer Republican lawmakers in the state assembly and the state Senate if we had nonpartisan redistricting as compared to the current system, even then, they said, well, but this is what's fair. There are majorities across the aisle that favor a nonpartisan redistricting as well. So there are places to look, both from the policy perspective, from the how we run our elections perspective, and from the process of governing perspective that should give us some hope.
That makes me really happy, Mike. just the fact that Wisconsinites want it to be fair.
Yeah,
we don't like cheaters. It just reinforces my faith in my fellow cheesers.
Fairness is a big value in Wisconsin. I think that's something that kind of shines through our surveys. And I guess one other positive thing, we started talking about how, you know, 6 in 10 of us stopped talking politics with folks, and 1 in 6 of us just end a friendship or family relationship. About 15% of us have tried to restart a conversation. So even if we do cut people out, it may not be forever. People are willing to try to give folks a second chance and rekindle relationships after some time has passed. Usually election season is a pretty hot and heavy time for people to have disagreements about politics. And once those are over, even though politicians live in an era of perpetual campaigning, the citizens don't. And so people sometimes find their way back to each other when politics is less salient.
And so what now do you, what does the center do? What do we do with this information?
Well, we want to use this information first to look at how things compare over time. Are things getting better, staying the same, or getting worse? We want to use this information to help lawmakers think about policy changes that might be necessary. So one thing we found in our work is that Black and Hispanic Wisconsinites, Black Wisconsinites have longer commutes to the polls. Hispanic Wisconsinites wait in line longer to vote. And so these are things lawmakers could do something about. And so we want to hopefully have some of our surveys help make things more democratic with a small D in the state. And then the next thing we're doing is we're trying to understand the roots of some of these attitudes. And so the next report that we'll release in June talks a bit about how our information use is associated with these attitudes. And what basically the spoiler alert is that those among us who are only choosing to consume news and only choosing to talk to people who are like us politically have far more extreme views across a wide range of issues than those who get information from more mainstream and diverse sources.
That's interesting, because it was as recent as last week we were talking about, is there a market for unbiased news anymore in the way that CNN and some organizations are trying to be unbiased? But it's like, is there actually people who want that? And are you saying that there are people who are still getting that, or is it
there are people who prefer to hear what both major parties' leaders have to say about things, and who prefer to hear that in a way that's not our side is right and the other side is not just wrong, but dangerous, evil, must be stopped at all costs. There's a real market for that kind of news. The question about bias, of course, is biased as compared to what?
Yeah.
Right. You know, everything has a bias, right? So is it biased to say the Green Bay Packers have won a bunch of Super Bowls and the Minnesota Vikings have won 0? That's true, right? Is that biased? I'm from Minnesota, and so if you're a Vikings fan, you might say, well, gosh, why are we harping on Super Bowls, right? That's biased. But just telling you who won and who lost is not biased. But in politics, sometimes people even interpret stories about public opinion polls as biased. Oh, it shows that my candidate's losing. This news organization is biased. And so it's hard to know what the pure ideal is, and it's hard to know how to compare whether both sides are both being honest when they're expressing their views. That makes it tough.
Absolutely. All right. Well, when that survey drops, we'll have to have you back maybe next month or July. But Mike Wagner, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
My pleasure.
All right. Have a great day. All right. When we come back, State Senator Keller Royce will be here. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Got to be good looking, cause he's so hard to see. Come together.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes.
Yeas are 314, the nays are 117. The bill is passed.
After weeks of worry, the House overwhelmingly passed the bipartisan debt ceiling bill. It freezes overall spending levels and rolls back some of the COVID money that hasn't been spent. The measure now heads to the Senate. As the GOP presidential field widens, former President Trump's feud with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is intensifying.
Yesterday, both Republican presidential candidates were in Iowa, where Trump called DeSantis a very disloyal person during a radio interview. DeSantis is trailing Trump in the polls by double digits, but he's telling voters that Trump is unable to win another general election.
The tired dogmas of the past are inadequate for a vibrant future. We have to look forward. We can't look backwards.
Meanwhile, the Republican field to take on Trump is getting more crowded. Former Vice President Mike Pence and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie are both expected to announce their candidacies next week.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. This is ABC News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Is it a snake? People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, please, listen, that's the way it should be. Peace in the valley, people got to be free.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. And we are welcoming back to the show State Senator Kael DeRoys. How you doing?
I'm so glad to be with you and not in the Joint Finance Committee for a change.
Well, it was funny because Representative Evan Gwenke was here yesterday, and I made a joke with him as far as how long he's served and the fact that he still has as much hair as he has. Have you started going gray yet because of the Joint Finance Committee?
Well, I feel like it started going gray during Act 10.
Fair.
And then having three kids, and now there's like nothing left. I'm just like a shell of a person.
Well, on that note, I guess, how's it been going since we last spoke to you as far as I think The last time you were on, the public hearings had completed and the conversations were starting as far as what was going to be in the legislature's budget, aka the GOP budget. And we've seen 500 different things that were in Governor Evers' budget not make it. We saw paid leave is not even going to be studied.
What are
some highlights right now as far as some things that still could be in there that should be celebrated, or at least we should look forward to?
The legislature, the good thing is the Finance Committee has really not debated a lot of the big contentious areas, areas that I think are really, really critically important for Wisconsin. So I'm thinking about like public K-12 funding, right? We have not done the Department of Public Instruction yet. We have not done K-12 funding. We haven't done the University of Wisconsin yet. We haven't done childcare counts, which is the critically important childcare funding that will hopefully keep open our childcare industry. So these are all things that the Republicans could decide to put money into. Remember, we have an almost $7 billion surplus, and the Republicans really haven't spent any of it yet. In fact, they've been cutting position authority from a lot of state agencies. Last week, they basically gave a green light to tax cheats by not appropriately funding the Department of Revenue to go after out-of-state corporations and wealthy people that don't pay their fair share into Wisconsin, even in many cases, people who agree that they owe this. So there've been just a lot of like missed opportunities where they have not provided funding or even provided an effective cut in funding, like for the Wisconsin Technical College system, which to me just seems crazy in a time when you have a workforce shortage and we are trying like the Dickens to keep young people in state. We should not be cutting our higher educational institutions that help workers upskill and help young people have a pathway into family supporting careers.
When did we develop so much affection for tax cheats?
I know.
It blows my mind. It just blows my mind.
I mean, don't we want the FIBs paying their fair share? Like, this is Wisconsin.
We're certainly paying them enough money in taxes when it comes to buying weed there.
Patriots fans, get their money. Otherwise, we're the ones shouldering the burden. It's unfortunate to see because, again, this is not a time when we have to be worried about cutting and pinching every penny. And all of those agents, had we hired those professional staff, it would have made hundreds of millions of dollars for the state. At virtually no cost to state taxpayers, this would be money coming in from out of state. But unfortunately, I do not have all of the votes on joint finance. That's why Glicky and I don't make all the decisions.
In the past, the Republicans have given surplus money back out to the people in ways of like child tax credits and housing tax credits and whatnot, which just kind of, it's like, oh, cool, I got $13 back. Thank you very much. Are they
too bad about not funding my schools? But
yeah, exactly. But here's your $13. Enjoy. Do you hear any rumblings of any sort of giveaway, like rebate thing from their end, saying we got to give back to the people directly, and it'll be through this way, whatever that way might be?
We haven't heard anything about a direct like rebate. But, you know, Republicans, they get kind of fixated on these crazy, reckless ideas like bumper sticker economics, trickle down economics. That was something that just never worked. It's been thoroughly disproven. Mm-hmm. And we've got right now some legislators pushing this wacko idea of a flat tax, which, of course, is just functionally a massive giveaway to the wealthiest people and the biggest corporations to essentially not pay their fair share. So, I mean, what concerns me is the idea that they're going to basically take this once in a lifetime surplus, and instead of investing it back into the public institutions that all of us rely on and need, and that have frankly been underfunded for decades, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals. And, and then that's going to mean a huge hole in the budget for every biennium that follows.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, oh, I know some of those guys.
Yeah. I was just watching a video.
I do too. Yeah. Some of them are very nice.
I was just watching a video on the national level where a senator or a congressman was just basically holding this person's feet to the fire saying, the Trump tax credits did not work, right? They did not work. And they kept on trying to wiggle their way through, like, this does not work. And they finally go, you're right. You're right. Because well, they had no choice. And in those tax cuts, that trickle-down economics in their lay.
Because even in Wisconsin, I did a story on this a couple years ago now, but it's still in place, is the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit, which is a huge windfall for some of our richest people in Wisconsin. And there is no job requirement tied to, like, the argument for it is these are the people who are creating jobs, but there is no requirement in order to receive that tax credit to have created a single job.
Well, exactly. You see, Christy, you don't understand freedom. You see, freedom is getting that free money while having the freedom not to do anything. You're free from doing something while having the freedom to get free money. That's freedom, Christy.
And we have the freedom to pay their fair share for them.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Exactly. And so I had a whole diatribe on this last week as far as how I don't like being jealous of Minnesota. Like, it's not a good feeling of being jealous of Minnesota. But at least last week, as they signed a, you know, revolutionary budget, I was a little jealous last week. And so how do you think there's any silver lining there as far as to our neighbors to the west? We can see what this kind of investment is going to do for the state and have that much more evidence to be like, see, we could be doing that. Look at what it's done for population. Look at what it's done for working age population, for families. Is that at least one positive out of the discrepancy between our two states?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have enough evidence to see that Minnesota's approach worked far more effectively than Wisconsin's over the last decade. And part of the reason that they had so much more money as a surplus in their budget.
$10 million. No, $10 billion more, right?
Yeah, they didn't reject billions in federal funds. And so when things like the ARPA money during COVID was distributed and, you know, for Medicaid, they've already expanded Medicaid, right? And so they're actually getting more money for a lower investment from their taxpayers. And so the advantage that they've built up over the last 10 years is only going to be magnified because now they're making amazing investments in Minnesotans. And you know, it's tough because my stepdaughters both went to college in Minnesota. They loved it. And it's like, I don't know if we're ever going to get them to come back to Wisconsin. One's off to Seattle and the other one's very happy in Minnesota. And it's hard to blame them. When, you know, that state is really moving forward and Republicans wonder, like, why aren't young people voting for us? Why don't they support us? Well, it's because your policies are terrible for young people. You're spending all your time banning abortion and attacking birth control. And you're saying that, you know, gay teens and Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret are the problem.
So, Senator, you just mentioned before that, just mentioned now that you have the evidence to show that the policies aren't working in our favor and working in their. When did you ever expect, this is a real quick question, when did you ever expect the GOP to look at evidence? I'm just asking.
I haven't really ever expected that, okay, but
I
do think, I mean, you know, the Republican Party has just moved so far right. And I think there's a disconnect between actual people who vote Republican, who I think do value higher education. They would be thrilled if their kids went to a UW school, who want their public education to be well-funded. They want clean drinking water. And then the Republican politicians who come into this building and then just go absolutely crazy to the furthest extreme of their party. And they're like, yes, ban all abortions and birth control's next. You know, that's the disconnect that gerrymandering creates, right? Mm-hmm. It takes the, you know, everyday Wisconsinite out of the picture.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, because I know that there's conversations as far as if we actually were to get fair maps, there's no guarantee that Democrats would get the majority in the state legislature, right? But it, like, you know, for me, it comes down to having people. What?
And in a purple state. And nor should we have a stranglehold on power in a purple state.
Absolutely. No, but I think the thing for me is you at least in having more fair districts, you have people who are more in touch. So even if you are a Republican, being more responsive, understand not being so isolated into your Republican conservative stronghold of this is how everybody thinks because this is the echo chamber I live in, mm-hmm. is right. This is what's creating just such a disconnect from very popular policies versus mm-hmm. who holds the majority. And it's not even just the party. It's the type of conservative that people in that party who are elected are right now. And so as far as things, at least it's not all doomsday. Like, what would you say some other kind of like, what's keeping you positive right now, Senator?
Well, you know, I think in the long run, Wisconsin does have a huge surplus, which is great. We have wonderful institutions that we could choose to fund. The governor has a mighty veto pen, and he could certainly choose to veto parts of the budget or all the budget if they don't make the investments that are necessary in K-12, in University of Wisconsin, in the things that are going to help Wisconsin basically thrive. So.
Well, we have someone who wants to say hi to you on the phone right now.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Megs.
Hey, Kelda, it's Maggie Dawn. How are you?
Hi, Maggie. Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of the great University of Wisconsin system, you and I were indeed beneficiaries of that as we were able to go to Wisconsin Law School at an incredibly affordable price. Cheaper than almost any tier one public law school in the country. And that is part of what conservatives have been slowly whittling away. And that is the ability for middle-class people to access the most wonderfully engaged and forward-thinking, research-based institutional learning at a college and university and postgraduate level. And of course, I had to say thank you, Kelda, for everything that you're doing for Wisconsin. And hello, dear friend.
Hello. It's so wonderful to hear your voice.
What that a is small the best, world.
That's the best thing that's happened all week.
Well, you know, Maggie's going to have a show. Her show's coming back on Civic Media, so you'll have opportunity to probably go on her shows as of next week.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yes, I will be in touch. We will have some fun on the radio.
Perfect.
Thank you, Jane, and thank you, Kristen, for letting me take a couple minutes of your time. Kelda, you be well. I'll be in touch.
You too, Maggie.
Thanks, Max.
Thanks, Maggie. All right. Well, per usual, Senator Royce, this is so much fun to have you on, even though it's, you know, there's frustrations, there's gray hairs, but as Maggie just said, fighting the good fight and not backing down and making your voice heard as far as what so many people want, even though we're not getting it, but we march on. So we'll see you next time. Thank you for spending some time with us today.
Take care. Thank you.
All right. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Peace in the valley, now we all can be free.
Look, see that train over there? That's the train of freedom. It's about to arrive any minute now. You know, it's been a long, long overdue. Look out, because it's coming right on.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks. And
a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Daytime highs approaching 87 today under mainly clear skies with a slight chance for scattered storms. Southeasterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, 61. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 88. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Saturday with daytime highs approaching 85. 82 Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 60.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She's Jane Van Ayer. He is Greg Bach. What a small world.
Honestly, and the look on Kelda's face was just so priceless when she heard Maggie. It was
funny because she was so skeptical of like, why are you putting a collar on right now? We did not talk about taking live phone calls.
I feel like when Mags is around, Maggie, I don't feel like I've earned the right to call her Mags. Maggie is around. Every time she's walking in the room, people like light up, and I'm like, I want to be like
do that,
that
for people.
I want people to be happy when I'm here.
I'm happy when you're here.
I'm always happy when you're here.
I know, but I'm over you two.
I want other people to be happy.
I want new people to be excited about that.
Well, so I read this. I almost wanted to save this for Am I the Sphincter, but do you know that we're doing this on Fridays now?
I thought so. This Birds for You is not happening.
No, that's happening too.
Okay, cool.
So this is the...
Am I the sphincter?
Some of the new segments we have to look forward to, because as a reminder, as of Monday...
We're moving.
10 a.m. You're going to turn us on an hour earlier. Yeah.
Dirty.
10 to 12 as of Monday. We're very excited about that. But in trying to rethink different segments and what we can do, we're going to keep... We've been doing... Reddit's we call it the sphincter because
yeah,
we can't, you know, FCC and all that.
ITA.
And so we've been doing that on Fridays and we're going to keep this Birds for You. Well, we haven't actually launched this Birds
oh,
for
I'm
You
sorry.
Yet.
I'm
but
sorry.
But we can tease it. So this yep. Bird's going to, you know, as we collect stories that we want to talk about on air, sometimes there's the stories where there's nothing really novel to say about them and they're just... you know, provoking, and they're angry. They make us angry.
Tick us off.
So instead of, you know, again, FCC, we can't really say F you to these people that are making the headlines. So we're instead calling it This Bird's for You. And
it's a gift.
It's a gift. It's a roundup of the people who made us angry in the news this week. So that'll be, I think, on Thursdays. We're going to keep three headlines and a lie. Keep our headline quiz on Fridays. We're going to do some good news. You know, we're going to have more segments.
Nice.
Recurring segments that people can look forward to.
I like it. I can't wait. And when's this all happening again?
And then we also have Greg's Roundup on Wednesdays.
I'm sticking around, folks.
He's still going to be here.
Yep. You can't get rid of me.
You might be here even more.
I might be even
slight
here even more. Who
teaser.
Knows?
Who yes. Slight foreshadowing of what's to come, potentially. But yeah, so that's happening on Monday. The change up for the whole Civic Media. I mean, some people are staying the same.
Yeah.
We have Pat Kreitlow, 6 to 8, and then Earl, 8 to 10, with a couple different local shows, and I don't have the entire lineup to go through each station.
Right.
But I know we're going to start running promos, and we're going to start posting things all over social media, so you know how to find your favorite shows whether it's on air, on your radio, or on the Civic Media app, so you can switch back and forth between the different stations to always be able to find the show that you want and the hosts that you like any time of the day. But
or
yes,
the Wednesday co-host.
You or like the Wednesday co-host specifically.
That you really like.
But yeah, so that starts Monday, and we're very excited, which means we only have three more No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hours, which is coming up after the break. But before we go to the break, I wanted to read you both this gem that I saw it posted on Twitter. I have no idea if this is someone who just posted this and it's actually their story or it was something that they heard. I don't care because it is very funny. And maybe I'll get your, if we have enough time after I'm done reading it, you can give him a rating. Who's the sphincter in this story?
Excellent.
All right, here we go. I know I shouldn't have done this, but I'm 83 years old and I was at the McDonald's drive-thru this morning and the young lady behind me leaned on her horn and started mouthing something because I was taking too long to place my order. So when I got to the first window, I paid for her order along with my own. The cashier must have told her what I'd done because we moved as we moved up, she leaned out of her window and waved to me and mouthed, "Thank you." Obviously embarrassed that I had repaid her rudeness with kindness. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
When I got to the second window, I showed them both receipts and took her food too. Now she has to go back to the end of the queue and start all over again. Don't blow your horn at old folks. Oh, they've been around a long time.
Oh my God. That's... Oh, just
who's the sphincter? Greg Bach is standing up, standing ovation.
First of all, lay off your horn.
Don't honk at someone in a drive-thru line. Where do you think you're gonna go?
No, that's craziness. That's no, and older people, if they need anybody, if they need more time, give them some time. You're not. You'll be fine. You'll be waiting. What? 30, 40 seconds longer.
But also, you don't know if it's something that's happening inside. Yeah. Sometimes there's people who are like, I can't, like, hold on for a second. You know, fast food places that are understaffed. Like,
yes.
There's so many different things that could be going on that you honking your horn, what is that going to solve? It's like being in a traffic jam on the freeway and starting to honk. It's like, do you think any of us want to be here right now? Like, what are you doing?
Where are you going to go? There's nowhere to go.
Did you already press the button for the elevator? I'll do it too. We'll see.
Yeah, let me touch it again.
Yeah.
Makes me feel a little better.
I wish she was my grandmother. I've never heard that trick before. I wish she was my meemaw.
The reversal on that of I went to pay for her food.
And then I took it. And as you know what I would have done just to sweeten the deal? As I'm driving away, just throw it out the window and let her see that. Just what was that about? Oh, she threw your. Oh, that's the kind of petty you can just drizzle
Jane,
over
do
pancakes.
Do you have that kind of pettiness in you? Are you gonna steal this? This for your playbook?
I don't know what the woman who was honking is going to take away from this. Unfortunately.
So would you pay for? Would you stop and pay for the food just to make her feel bad?
Probably not.
So you
just ignore it?
I just ignore it.
I'll tell you this. If you told me this story and you're the honker, Kristen, and you told me this, I'd be like, oh, that's pretty funny.
If I was like complaining.
Yep.
And then this 83-year-old bag bought my food and then took it.
I'd be like, are you listening to yourself right now?
Do you think I never honk. Mike likes to honk. I was like, you're going to get shot.
Or like when people, like when you're at the stoplight and they honk like immediately when it goes green.
That's the worst.
Whoa, I want to. So angry.
All right.
Hulk smash.
All right. When we come back, the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Too much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming ABC on the Civic News. Media app.
I'm Inez Del-